Galatians chapter 1. A few weeks ago, we started in the book of Galatians, and the Lord has allowed me to continue, so I'm down to verse 10. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 10. We'll have a word of prayer and then get into the message today. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to be able to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that this message today would encourage us, help us, strengthen us. Lord, you know the need of every heart that's here today, and I pray that you'd meet it. I pray that you keep a hedge around us, keep us safe. Allow the Holy Spirit to work as only you'll come. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, the book of Galatians, there's many things that you can learn from the book of Galatians, but what we mainly see is Paul was dealing with those legalists, right? Those that were trying to add to salvation. We know salvation is by faith, believing in what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died for us, was buried, and rose again. But there are those out there that will teach a work-based salvation. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned this letter, this epistle to the churches, that they would read this and they would see the error of that. And he starts, if you remember, he started out at the beginning, reminded them that God has delivered us from this present evil world, and this world is evil. Then the last verse 6 through 9, which we talked about last week, is the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now in verse 10, as we continue through the end of the chapter, what he's going to do is explain to them that it's God's word. This wasn't Paul that made something up or men that got together did these things. It was God who gave the gospel. It is God who gave the scripture. And we see here in verse 10 when he says this, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" He's like, "What? Why am I doing this?" Can I tell you there are some people that are pastors that are doing it because of men. That's the reason why they're doing it. Someone said, "Hey, you should be a pastor." And they were like, "Okay." There's some men that are pastors. They're doing it for the money. That's their goal, right? And there's some, can I tell you, there's a lot of people that are on television and you know, they're there. They said they'll be your pastor and they'll help you through whatever you're going. And all you have to do is send in a love offering of $29.99 and they'll pray for you, you know? You don't have to send me a buck. You don't even have to send me a penny. Amen. You have a problem, you just tell me. Amen. You call me, text me. It doesn't matter the time. I'll pray for you. Amen. Now, if you want to give me $29, I'm just joking. Amen. But you think about how dumb and stupid that is. Amen. Where people are taking that away. One of the qualifications of a pastor talks about that, right? I'm not in for that filthy lucre, right? That money, that greed. I need more that's there. Paul said, "Hey, this message that I'm preaching to you, the gospel that I'm giving you, the word of God, I'm not doing this to try to because of men. I'm doing it because of God. My desire is to please God. God, not man." If you're going to be a preacher, the truth of the matter is this. You better settle it in your heart. You're never going to please everyone. It's impossible. Matter of fact, if you're not a preacher, which is okay, if God doesn't call you to be a pastor, that's fine. Can I tell you, you just better settle it in your heart. You'll never please everyone. You never will. You'll be out in your job. And if your goal as a boss is to please everyone, you're not going to be a good boss. A good leader. If you try to please everyone, you're not going to be a good leader. You think about it as parents. If you're always just trying to please your children, you are not being a good parent. Right? You're not. If you give in to your kids every single time, well, you're not being a good parent. Right? I mean, you're the adult, not them. Amen. And here it is that Paul was saying this. He's saying, "Hey, if I, as a preacher of righteousness, as an apostle that God has called me, if I'm trying to please you, then I'm not a servant of Christ. But if I'm trying to please God, then the reality is you may not be pleased." And then that's what he was saying. Folks, can I tell you, we live in a world that's corrupt. We live in a world today where people that are behind a pulpit, that's their goal. Their goal is try to please people. Oh, Chris doesn't want me to preach on that message. I'm not going to preach on that. And Mark doesn't want me to talk on that subject. And Rachel saying, don't touch that. I'm not going to do that. Well, then I would not be a preacher of God. Amen. I wouldn't be the right kind of preacher. And that's what Paul was saying here. Do you know why? It's because of sin. Amen. Can I tell you, you think about people as a whole, and even my sin nature. My sin nature loves sin. And the reality is, I don't want to be told when I'm doing something wrong. You know, don't tell me how to do something or whatever. That's it. That's my sin nature. And can I tell you, people don't like it when they go to a church, a Bible-believing church that believes the Word of God, and they hear that there's problems that you have. Amen? What is it? It's a sin problem. Don't get mad at me. Amen. I'm just telling you what God said. You should be thankful. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, if my goal is to please man, I'm not going to be a servant of Christ. Look what the Bible says over here. We'll start over here to the book of 2 Timothy, I believe it is. In 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The reality is you're not going to please everyone. Why? Because there's that sin nature. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, look what the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you ever need help finding a verse, you can always go to the front of your Bible. There's concordance. There's the Old Testament, New Testament. And it'll show you those different books. And then after you find that book, you can find the chapter and in the verse. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look what the Bible says here in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Can I tell you, he has the final say. He's God, right? God in the flesh, the Son of God. And what we see is all judgment is given to him, right? He's the ultimate judge. And look what Paul was trying to teach this young preacher as he was going out. He was there. He was trying to tell him, what did he say? Preach the word. Preach the word. What was he saying? Timothy, what you need to do is preach the very words of God. And how does he say it? Be instant in season, out of season. When they like the message, preach it. Marilyn, when they don't like it, preach it anyway, right? I mean, we're living in a day and age. I mean, our society has just lost it, amen? The wickedness that's filled in our land. Can I tell you, you go back 50, 60, 70 some years ago, and a lot of churches would have preached and said homosexuality is a sin. Now it's a today where it's like, ooh, I don't want to offend anyone. No, it's still the same. It's a sin. It's abomination. In season, out of season. Amen. Folks, that's what he says. Preach the word. If your goal is to make people happy with your preaching, you may have people to get happy, but God's not going to be pleased. Amen. And that's what he's saying. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Look at this in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Here it is, as he was telling Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want you to understand, there's going to come a time where people's not going to like sound preaching. Can I tell you, we're in that day and age. Amen. People don't want to hear sound preaching. They don't like that, right? Do you see what he said? Endure. Do you know why? Because sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm going to be stepping on Doris's toes, right? To endure, right? Sometimes, well, I should say more than sometimes. A lot of times I'm preaching on John. No, I'm just joking, amen? Well, the reality is he's saying endure. Why? Because no one likes to be told you're doing something wrong, right? No one likes to say when you're thinking you're going the right direction and God's word shows you're going the wrong direction. Well, the reality is you have to realize it's God's word, right? What you have to do is repent, right? And say, Lord, I'm sorry you showed me the right way. But what do you say? They won't like that. And they'll go to churches to find a pastor that has itching ears. You know what that means? It means that they'll go in and say to someone, as give an example, Chris would come to me and say, preacher, what do you believe? You know, what are you going to preach on? And if it's this, you know, I think Jenny and I were going to leave, you know? Itching ears, what that's saying is, I want to hear what you want. And Diane, you tell me what you want me to preach, and that's what I'll preach, right? Itching ears, that's what he's saying. And the reality is this, if someone's a itching ear preacher, I'm not talking about you have an itch, right? But an itching ear preacher of trying to preach messages that you want to hear instead of what's in this book, then the reality is he's not what he should be. And that's what Paul was saying here. And what did he say? They will leave and find another church that will tickle their ears. Heaven is just wonderful. And it is, amen? But that's all they tell you, amen? They try to entertain you, but they don't get to the meat of the message. This is a true thing. I wouldn't lie to you. This is truthful. I have had people come to our church. I remember a couple that came to our church, and this is what they were told. They went, they were visiting another church. They were in a church in Potsdam. And as they were in a church in Potsdam, they were looking for a sound church. That's what they told me. And someone, and they said, hey, we heard a Bible Baptist church down in Augsburg. We're going to go visit. And when they said something to the person that was in this church, as God is my witness, what they responded to me, I may not get the exact sentence right, is, don't go to that church, Bible Baptist church. And this is why. This is what the people said. Because he preaches against sin. Honest to goodness, Chris. That's what they told me. I was like scratching my head. I was like, what? And that couple said, we had to come and see. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, you think of how foolish that, well, what are you preaching? Amen. Yes, God's good. Amen. But you have to realize you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. Amen. Hell is a real place. If you don't tell people that they're a sinner and hell is a real place, well, then the reality is they'll die and spend eternity in hell. What kind of preacher are you? Folks, can I tell you, that's what he's saying here. And what Paul was saying was, hey, if my goal is to please men, I'm not going to be the preacher of righteousness. I'm not the servant of Christ. So anyway, he speaks and says those things. So don't get mad at me. And if you do get mad at me, it's okay. Amen. You won't be the last, I'm sure. But look back here to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. So anyway, when he starts out and he says this, he's saying, hey, my goal is to not to please men. My goal is to please Christ, right? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Then he gets into what he was building up on, right? So he's building up and saying what the gospel is. And now in verse, if you go back to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11, he's building up on that and explaining to them and saying, hey, the gospel is not something I just made up. The scriptures that I'm giving you is not something I just made up and thought about and said, and then wrote something down. He's saying it's from God. Look here what the Bible says in verse 11 and 12, Galatians 1. For I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So again, what is he doing? He's trying to explain to these people that the gospel is not something that just someone made up. Can I tell you, there is so many quote-unquote religions that are out there, different ways to heaven. I mean, it's just baffling what people think. I mean, it's just crazy, amen? And here it is, what he's saying is the gospel is not something that man made up. This is what God gave. God is telling you the way to heaven. The scripture is from God, not from man. I get the cults confused sometimes, but they're confused for sure. But one of them, I think it was the Mormons, that their leader got the plates or something. They're saying that God told him what to write down, right? And then from there, you know, they have all these crazy beliefs. What was it? What was the other one? The Seventh-day Adventist, I think it is. They had their prophetess, White, I think her name was, that had visions and prophecies from God. And you think about the Muslims, how they had Muhammad, that, you know, they had these other writings that are... Folks, can I tell you, that's all from man. Really, it's from the devil, amen? But it's man. They're trying to give these things. And all that does is it never... hits the hole that's in your heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. It just makes you religious. But you know, you can be religious and still on your way to hell. Amen. And here it is. That's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, this gospel message, the word of God that I'm giving you, is not something I, from my heart, said, hey, I'm going to write this down, right? This came directly from God. Look what the Bible says over here to book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, Paul wasn't saying that he's the first one to ever receive the gospel. He's trying to explain to them how God worked on his heart, how he got saved, and God gave him the scripture that is there. Well, look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. So you always have to remember where you are as you're reading your Bible, the time frame, right? So when God gave Paul the book to write for Galatians, that epistle that's there, majority of the New Testament, as we could see, wasn't written, right? So you have to think about that, right? It was a different time where God would give a revelation to Paul, and then he would write down what God told him to write. There is no more word of God that's out there. We have the completed word of God, right? You'll have this day and age where there are people out there, there's the gospel of Thomas or gospel of Judas or gospel of this and gospel of that. You know what that is? That's from the devil. Amen? God said he would give his word. It's completed. There is no other books that are out there. But look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, down here at verse 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know why God gave us his word? One of the reasons you think about it is to show you and me that we're a sinner and we need a Savior. This Bible points us to Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And can I tell you, you go through this book and you start reading it, and that's what you'll see. It points you to him. I can't save myself, but Jesus can. Amen? So you think about that. It's amazing. This Bible, you think about these letters, these epistles. This period of time was about 1,600 years. Where from the first time to the end of Revelation, almost 1,600 years. Do you know what you'll find in this Bible? You won't find errors. It's all in agreement. You imagine if you had to write something, let's say Chris had to write something, he's on another state, and let's say he's over in California, and he had to write something, and 100 years later I had to write something, and Mark, 1,000 years later, would have to write something. I never saw Chris, I never saw Mark, vice versa, right? And here it is, as God told Chris what to write, and God told me what to write, God told Mark what to write, and they penned it all down, we penned it down, that was there. And it's all in agreement. It all points to Christ, right? You think about 1,600 years. I mean, amazing. It's there. And he tells us how it is. Verse 16. All scripture, everything from the book of Genesis the whole way through the book of Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What that means is God breathed. God gave it. Amen? God was the one that told Paul as he wrote down those words. The reality is God told Paul what to write. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't someone sitting there saying, well, what should I write? This would be a good word. No, God told him what to write. That's what he's saying. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Folks, can I tell you, what you have in your hands today is the very words of God. God's word. Can I tell you, that's why the devil hates this book. Hates it. You know why? Because he wants you to go to hell. And he's saying, hey, don't read that book. And that's why he's been attacking it. God's word, you think about from the beginning of time, in the garden, he says, hath God said? What is that? Trying to get Eve to doubt God's word until even through today. Can I tell you, he's trying to get people, no, there's errors in this. I find it fascinating when someone will say, there's errors in the Bible. You know what I'll tell them? Well, show me. Why they're just there. Well, I said, show me. You know, show me where the errors are. I like to see them. Well, I don't have time. No, you just heard someone else say that and you're repeating it. Amen? You know? I mean, if I stood up here and told you, you know, whatever it is, you know, Kool-Aid will get rid of your cancer, right? When I was a little kid, I probably thought that, you know, when I was a little kid. But if I stood up here and said, Kool-Aid will get rid of your cancer, right? Who here would leave here today and go out and start telling people Kool-Aid would get rid of your cancer? Don't raise your hands. Amen. None of you would, right? You'd say that's no. But why is it that when it comes to God's word, you'll repeat something that's dumb and foolish? That's even dumber. You know, that ain't the word of God. Well, it's like Kool-Aid will cure your cancer. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, this is the very words of God. And that's what he's saying here. Paul was trying to help them and saying, look, I'm giving you the gospel. I'm giving this epistle to you. It wasn't because I penned it per se, like I put down my own thoughts. Yes, he may have wrote it or had someone else write it. It's what God told him what to write. It's inspiration. It means God breathed. Look what the Bible says over here to book 1 Peter. Actually, 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1. God has given us his word. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll start reading here verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able also, or after my departing, or after my decrease, sorry, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received of God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. And when we were with him in the holy mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's telling us how we got the Bible. God gave it, and they wrote it down. Amen? Well, you think about the Ten Commandments. God called Moses up to the mountain, told him to bring up those stones. And God, with his own finger, wrote those Ten Commandments that were there. You know, God gave it. And God told Moses other things about the tabernacle and other laws that were there. And what Moses did was he wrote it down what God told him. That's what the scriptures are. Amen. It's God's word. Now, there's a lot that you can get into it. You can see how this Bible is different than any other book in the world, any other religious book in the world. Because the reality is, you think about it, you see the fulfillment of prophecy, other things that you can go through. There's no book like this. Amen. It's the very words of God. And what it's telling us here is how we got the scripture, but it's not of a private interpretation, right? I wouldn't look at someone and say, you know, I'm sorry, John, but you're just not like me. I know everything of this Bible, and you can't figure it out. It's a private interpretation. Do you know back during the Dark Ages, and probably still happening, that the Catholic Church, the priest, would do that to people? You can't read that Bible on your own. Don't read that, because you'll misinterpret it. No, God gave us his word that everyone can read it. Everyone has a right to read that and say, hey, thus saith the Lord. Amen. This is what God wants you to know what's in the book. He gave it to you. He gave it to me. Amen. And that's what he's saying here is of no private interpretation, right? But it's also saying that you rightly divide the scripture, right? Take it in context. Do you know why there's so many different quote unquote beliefs that are out there? It's because people don't rightly divide the word of God. If you rightly divide the Word of God, you'll come to the same conclusion, right? If you wrongly divide it, well, yeah, you can come up with all kinds of crazy stuff, amen? But what we see is he's explaining the Scripture. Now, go back here to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1. So Paul is building this up. And now when we get down to verse 13 to 17, he's explaining the power of God's Word, right? And how he heard the gospel, how he got saved. Look here, back here at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profit in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Here it is, Paul is explaining his testimony, how he got saved. And as Paul was telling his life, he was like, he was a zealous Jew. He hated Christians. He hated the name of Jesus Christ. He hated it. And Paul used his life, his power, his authority to try to shut down churches in those days. He would find Christians that were there and he would take them and send them to prison. He would give his name and saying, "I'll testify that these people are speaking blasphemy. Put them in prison." That's what Paul's saying. That was Paul's life. And Paul, those Pharisees added to the scriptures that were there, they added to a work-based salvation. Paul said, they looked at me and said, "Look how great I am." And that's what Paul did. Paul would go about, he hated Christians, he would try to destroy Christians, he'd try to close down churches that was there. And then what happened? He met Jesus. On his way to Damascus, as he was going to try to find more Christians, he said, "I saw a light that was brighter than the sun." And that the voice came to him, I think it was in Acts chapter 9, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul realized, he was like, "Who are you, Lord?" He realized. He says that something like, "My name is Jesus." But anyway, he went through and explained to him. Paul was blinded, so he couldn't see for a while. And Ananias went to him and told him, and he got saved. He accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. What Paul was describing is his life. What was it? It was God's Word. When God gave that Word, you know what happened? He fell under conviction. He felt like, "Oh, I'm wrong." Do you remember that day that you got saved? Isn't that a wonderful blessing? When you got saved, someone preached the Word of God. Someone gave you the Word of God. And you heard the Scripture and you were like, "Oh no." I remember I was listening to a cassette tape. Young people, they probably know it was a cassette tape. What is that? That's my bad southern drawl or something like that. I'm trying to say it. But there's little tapes that you could put in, right? That's a CD player. Some people would be like, "What is a CD player? I don't even know what that is." I didn't go back to the 8-track days, but some of you can probably go there. But anyway, I was listening to that tape, and I was listening to that tape. That preacher preached on good and bad church members, and I saw myself as a wicked old sinner. Now, I was a deacon in the church. I was teaching boys and girls about Jesus. I was in Bible college. And I heard someone preach a message about, if you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're trusting in prayer or baptism, being a good person, whatever, you are going to die and spend eternity in hell. And I remember the Holy Spirit convicted me. What was it? That man used the very words of God. Holy Spirit convicted me. And even though I was on the wrong path, what happened? God convicted me. And what did I do? I realized, I was saying, you know, what I'm trusting in is just going to send me to hell. I need Jesus. And I gave up everything I was trusting in. And I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, that he died for me, he was buried and rose again. And he saved me. He changed my life. And that's what Paul was saying. He's saying, hey, I was on that road to Damascus, and I was going to take out some Christians and destroy families. And he said, then I heard God speaking to me, and then ultimately got saved. And then what happened? He said, hey, then I started to go and tell people about Jesus. His point that he's trying to make was, if it's just man-made, it's not going to work. It's not going to stay. It's not going to fill that hole that's in your heart. I tried Reformation once. You know what Reformation is? Reformation is you change the outside, but you don't deal with the inside. You see, what we are, do you think about it, is, as sin, we know there's a debt that we need to pay. You may clean up the outside. You may, whatever you were doing before, you stop. So, not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. And you clean up the outside, but you never deal with your heart. You know what happens? You become miserable. You know why, John? Because I was miserable. Amen. I was miserable. I was very religious, but lost. Until I heard the preaching of God's word, and I realized, and I got saved. And what happened was, I got peace and joy that's in my heart today. Why is that? That's because that's what God did. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It will cut going in. It will cut going out. Do why people don't like preaching? Because that's the word of God goes in and goes out. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, it convicts. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, hey, I want you to understand, it's God's word, the power of God's word. The Holy Spirit used it and convicted me, and I got saved. And then he was going through to explain to him and saying, hey, this isn't man-made. Because if man-made, it won't work. Amen? I have heard people say they have gone to seminars and they have heard people preach, or not preach, but positive messages, right? You know, we're going to think about positive things, and, you know, and that's what we're going to think about. And if only you think about positive things, you know, you have these positive speakers that get up here. Today, we're just going to think about positive things. You know, it's like a Bob Ross painting. I'm not against Bob Ross, right? Here's a tree. Here's a cloud.
It is very common.
Yeah, and every tree needs a friend. Get another tree. I'm not against Bob Ross, right? My father-in-law did his painting. His paintings are good, right? So if you do painting of Bob Ross, but you understand, right? You have the same. You have that. What's his name? Every Day's Friday guy. Can't think of his name. What is his name? Joel Osteen, right? Happy guy. So anyway, if you just think of all the good things, that will come your way. You know, I heard that. I had a lady that was in HR I work outside the pastorate, that was in HR that brought us as a bunch of management together. And we sat down in a room with a bunch of management around there. And that's what she said. She said she went to this positive thing. And she said, that's what we need to do. We need to start to think of positive things, you know, as we're talking to people, positive. And if we do all positive things will happen. And then she handed out a book. Everyone got a book that was called The Secret. The Secret. And she wanted everyone to read it. So there, and that's what it was. The discussion was going around. They're talking about all positive things. Chris, we're just going to talk about positive things, right? So what can you think of that positive? Mark, what can you think of positive? And then they get to the preacher man. Oh, no. Kevin, that was there at the time, looked at me, and I'm sure deep down he knew that this was going to be good. You know, if he probably started his phone and said, if they had had YouTube at that time, he would have probably put it on YouTube. This is going to go viral, right? And they asked the preacher man, what's your opinion on just being positive? Well, now you're in trouble. You asked, right? Now, please don't misunderstand. I think that we should think good things, right? Think on godly things. But their point was, if all you do is you think about good things will happen. So preacher man had to say, I said, there is a lady that's walking down the street. And this is the illustration I gave. And you can imagine what happened. There was a lady that was walking down the street. And as she was walking down the street, there was a pervert that was over here, saw that lady. He ran to that lady, took her, did some horrible things to her. Are you telling me it's because the lady thought bad things and that's why something bad happened to her?
how quiet you are was kind of how quiet that room was. The HR person said, I think we'll be done here today. You know, so needless to say, I am not aware of them having another secret meeting, but they may have had another secret meeting, but the preacher man wasn't invited. But all I was trying to tell him was this, hey, we live in a sinful world. And just thinking all positive stuff is not going to help you. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and follow His word. And what Paul is saying, that's a true story. I'm telling you what I told you is truthful. You know, they actually, at the place I worked, allowed me to start a Bible study in there. Until I got to John chapter 2 and start to talk about the water into wine and how God doesn't want people to drink. And for whatever reason, they didn't want me to do a study anymore. I don't know why. But anyway, what we see here is Paul was trying to tell them, hey, I lived a zealous life. I was a religious person. I hated Jesus Christ. I hated church. Until that day, I heard about Jesus Christ. And I heard from His word. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. And it changed me. Folks, can I tell you, when we see here the scripture, what Paul was saying is, this is not just quote-unquote man's words. This wasn't some preachers getting together or apostles getting together and saying, what can we write down? What sounds good? What should we put here? No. He says, this is the very words of God. That's what you have in front of you. You have the very words of God. And when you start thinking about that and realize what you have, can I tell you, you can trust it. You can believe it. What God says, believe Him. Take Him at His word. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that's truthful. God loves you. You may say, well, how about all my sin? He still loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is telling you the way of salvation is to come to Jesus Christ. I find it interesting. Sometimes you run into people and they'll say, but salvation has been different through the ages. And I'll ask them, well, what we use is John 3:16 was still during a time of the law, because the law wasn't fulfilled. It was during a time when John was baptizing people. And as Nicodemus came and God knew his heart, He tells him, John 3:16, He didn't tell him to keep the law. He didn't tell him to be baptized. He told him to believe in Him. Salvation has always been looking forward to the cross that the Messiah one day would come and to pay be our substitute. And we as believers look back to the cross realizing He has already came and been our substitute. Folks, can I tell you, you get it all from this book. That's what Paul was going through and trying to explain to them. This is not from me, but this was from God. Do you see that today when you look at the scripture? Do you know that this is the very words of God? If you know that, can I tell you what a blessing it is? When you pick it up and you read something, if God said it, you can believe Him. You can trust Him. It is God's word. Father, thank You for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message is a help and a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that it would help us in our walk and help us to trust You and know You. And Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray today would be the day that they get saved. I pray that today would be the day they stop trusting in anything else and they trust in You and You alone for salvation. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name.